So I'm back with another podcast, and I was gonna do a question and answer because I divulged some of my life on Instagram. I think it was on Sunday actually. And I had so much response from it, loads and loads of questions, which it was great to be fair. I just normally try and answer it on Instagram story, but there were so many that I couldn't. So I did say that I was going to bring it over here and do a question and answer. However, stupid old me, I didn't screenshot the questions, so I've lost them all. So what I'm going to do is I will go back over to my Instagram at some point this week and just stick another question box up, and I will use that and screenshot it for next week's podcast. So for this week's podcast, I am going to do it about grief, because I've had so many questions about grief, about how I deal with grief, about the process of grieving that we went through, and also how you just grieve at different times to other people. And obviously, I'm talking about grief in terms of a loss of a parent who's died. But grief can be about anything. Grief can be the loss of a friendship, a loss of a relationship. Yeah, I'm just going to talk about my experiences, the things that I witnessed during my stepdad's illness, my relationship with him, and yeah, just kind of go into that a little bit, really. So hopefully I won't get upset, but if I do, I won't hide it. I will show it. This week, actually last week, I was laughing because I made a thing about background noise. And I said I felt more confident and content recording with the radio on in the background. So I've done that again. However, shock horror, this week we've got the fucking washing machine on as well. Because let me tell you, that motherfucker never stops. I do 2 to 3 loads of washing every fucking day of my life. And that is no exaggeration. So sorry if you can hear the washing machine, but you know, just a standard mum of 3 that's working full time, trying to record a podcast in between. So you just kind of get what you're given. So I wanted to kind of start this with the D word, which isn't dick, unfortunately. We'll save that for another podcast. It's dad. A word that doesn't so easily roll off my tongue, I must be honest. I've had a very rocky relationships with dads in my life. My parents broke up. Somebody actually asked me this the other day, and I actually have no idea how old I was when my parents broke up. But it was the whole generic, mum and dad broke up, you'd see your dad on the weekend, and that was that. That was a long time ago. I'm guessing I was even younger than Andre, to be honest, because I can't really remember a lot of it. Actually, I lie. I was older than Andre because I remember I went to Florida on my 8th birthday with my dad. And that is probably one of my only memories that I have with my biological dad. I have zero relationship with my biological dad. I don't really know the reason why. I do get asked why. I don't know. I spent a lot of years blaming myself. And yeah, that's it. I mean, I've tried to reach out myself a couple of times, and my mum's always said, kind of, I'll be here for you, not if it fucks up, but when it fucks up. I don't think he's very good with consistency. I don't have bad feelings towards my biological dad anymore. I used to do really bad. I remember once he texted me on New Year's Eve saying, I'd not spoken to him for like 7 months. And he texts me on New Year's Eve saying, Happy New Year, I love you. And I think I text back something along the lines of, you have no fucking clue what love is. Get yourself fucked off, basically. Obviously, I was pissed. And I was just angry, like, how can you just bell my phone out on New Year's Eve? Not even on his phone, on somebody else's phone. And say that. It's not fucking true. Like, it really wound me up. And then I saw him 3 days before Christmas. I was in Costco with our 3 children, and he just walked by me like I just wasn't there. So yeah, not a very nice relationship with my biological dad, but I've made peace with a lot of things in my life. I've learned that you can't go around blaming everybody else for the way that you feel. You've got to take control of your own feelings. Even if you feel like the feelings are caused by somebody else, why are you letting them control your life so much? And this is only got easier for me, I'd say, in the last 12 to 18 months, where I've really started to take responsibility and think, well, hang on, is it actually their fault that I feel that they're making me feel a certain way? Or is that something that I need to try and deal with myself? And it all comes from within. You control how much power somebody else has over your thoughts and feelings. So ultimately, you have to hold yourself responsible. And I stopped blaming myself for not having a relationship with my dad, because ultimately I am the child and he is the parent. I've thought about things that have gone on in our relationship, just little things like he helped me get my first car. And when I say helped me get my first car, I paid everything. It was in my name. He's never, ever supported me financially. And he said to me, because I got your brother and sister, I think he put my older sister through her driving lessons or something, and he bought my brother his first car. So he said, because I did that and I didn't do anything like that for you, I'll contribute a payment towards your car every month. So that made me feel more comfortable, because I'd never been in kind of finance or anything like that before. And he just didn't pay the payments. He just tied me into the contract, watched me drive off in my new car, and never sent the money. And I think more than anything, it's just kind of, when you become a parent yourself, you think, God, I wouldn't ever put my kids in the shit like that, or wouldn't ever even, you know, not, oh wow, God, I'm saying, you know, but I feel like that's the first time I've said it, so it's cool. But yeah, I just couldn't ever imagine even thinking about putting my children in a position which could jeopardize them financially. Or had he have not made that promise to me, I probably wouldn't have gone ahead with that car. I liked the car, and luckily I had a very good job. So for me, the payments weren't an issue anyway, but it was just, I felt it wasn't about the money. It was about my dad's helping pay towards my car. You know, that felt really good for me to say that, because that's a line that I've never been able to say before. My dad, like, with pride. So it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about that. It was about him making a promise to me and not following through with it. And it was about him proving my mum right when she says, I'm not here when if it fucks up, I'm here when. There's a lot more about my biological dad, which I will save for a different daddy issues episode. But my two baby sisters, I'm not going to speak hardly anything about this, because quite frankly, it's not my place. But our stepdad, who obviously we all loved and adored so much, isn't their biological dad, but he has raised them from being tiny babies. So they know that he wasn't biologically their dad, but they don't know any different other than him being their dad. He is their dad. He is their dad, other than it wasn't his sperm. But apart from that, he is their dad. It was more difficult for me because I'd had a rocky relationship with my sister's biological dad. So once my dad had left the picture, my sister's biological dad came into the picture. Now, I'm older at this point, so I remember a lot about him. I remember feeling heartbroken. Lots of shit went down with that man. He's not a nice person. And I'm happy that he's not in my sister's lives, because they deserve way more than that. They got way more than that. They got fucking the best man in the whole universe to raise them as their dad. And it's just such a shame that the time was cut short. So by the time my stepdad, everybody knows him as Pops, because that's what we all call him. When Pops came into our life, I was 14 years old. I was 14 years old. I was a moody teenager. I was scorned and hurt from daddy issues that I'd had in the past. And I felt kind of, I don't need another dad, and I don't want another dad. And yeah, like, I'm fine with my mum, I've got my friends, I'd started having interest in boys and stuff like that, texting boys, and I just wasn't, I will have definitely made his life difficult, but I didn't see it that way. I saw it as though I felt an element of rejection. And how are you supposed to come into a 14-year-old girl's life that has been through all that trauma with daddy issues and try and parent them and it goes smoothly? It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And the fact that he never gave up on me and he was still there for me, is amazing. And even I was looking back at Christmas photos the other day, and I was looking at photos of myself, and I thought, fucking hell, I've got a face like a smacked ass. Like, I've just opened a new mobile phone or whatever I'd got, and I just looked miserable, like eyeliner down my face and stuff. And I thought, God, I must have been hard to parent. And just like a lot of teenagers, you're not present, are you? You're not present. It's Christmas. All you give a shit about is what you're unwrapping, what's for dinner, texting your mates, and that's it. And unfortunately, I think it takes us a lot of growing up to realise the true importance of what we've got around us. It's all part of life lessons. So I was looking back on the pictures and I thought, God, if I could go back in time, it's always that when you lose somebody, if I could go back in time, if I could do this, if I could do that. So I always leaned on Pops. He was more of a really good friend to me rather than a father figure up until he got poorly. So this is what I really wanted to touch about on grief, because we found out, I was in Australia. So I'd left, I was in Australia. Me and my mum have a great relationship, by the way. She's my best friend. We get on the best now, I'd say, than we've ever got on before. It breaks my heart, the fact that she's sat at home without a husband. I try my best. It's hard because I live a good 40 minutes away from my mum. Obviously, I'm working full time. I've got 3 children. I've got a life of my own. And I try to include my mum as well, which was so nice while we all went away at Christmas, because it's just really hard that my brother's got his wife to be, and my sisters have got, one of my sisters have got a boyfriend, Eleanor. She's in York with Lewis, and it's hard. And then you just think, oh shit, mum's by herself, and it's not very nice. She's got Amelia for now, but Amelia's 17 and she's going to be finding a partner, I'm sure, not before long. And yeah, it just upsets me to think that my mum's on her own. But going back, he was more like a good friend, but me and my mum can argue like cat and dog at times. And there's been times where me and my mum have gone ages without speaking to each other, and he's really shown up for me in those moments when I've really needed somebody. He's always been there, even just little things like, you know, help with a car or help with finances. So he had his head screwed on. He wanted the best for me, and he was great. He really was. He was good with the kids, and I only wish that the relationship that we left with was the relationship that we always had. So when I was in Australia, they found out that he had terminal brain cancer. It came like a fucking stab in the dark. It was unbearable for me to be over there knowing that this had happened. The second we found out it was terminal after his operation, I've got all my 3 kids, I paid $5,000 and I got on a plane and I was like, I can't not, I've got to come home. And if you was part of my Instagram when I shared the amazing videos of us all surprising him when I was coming home, oh, it's just, their memories will last, yeah, they'll last a lifetime for me. It was amazing. That moment was amazing when he saw me, and he was kind of a little bit confused because he'd just had major brain surgery at that point. And those couple of weeks were priceless. Prior to this, I received an email from him. In fact, one second, because I don't know if I can get it up while I'm on the phone. Just bear me one second, because I'm recording into my phone, you see. I'm going to try record and go off. Let me just see if it works. So the title of the email said, "So you know." And he said, "I hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas. It looked amazing. Make the most of each one. As you know, the Reaper is on my ass at the moment, but I'm in a very fortunate position that I know he's catching up quick. Hopefully I'll be around for a while, but the good news is that it's given me time to focus on saying things that I wouldn't have felt the necessary to say, and also to get my affairs in order for your mum. In contrast, a lot of people will walk out of the front door today, never to return and not to be afforded these luxuries. I spoke with Dave a couple of days ago and told him that I couldn't be prouder of the man that he's become, with all the qualities that you would hope for in a son and a best friend for life, and that I would be honoured if he started to call me Dad. It's a conversation we should have had years ago, and I'm so glad
I now have, although I hope he knew this already. It's more important for me to say, because you may feel less aware, is that I also honestly couldn't be prouder of the person you've become as well. You're a rock for all of your family, there and here, focused, loyal, hardworking. He called me another word, but I don't know it. Tenacious, I think, if anyone can tell me what that means. You know that what you want and nothing is going to get in your way. You're a chip off your mum's block. Like your mum and your sisters, you've got a natural beauty that radiates out of your face. Your mum is beautiful and she gets more so on a daily basis. I'd be proud if I could call you my daughter and you could call me dad. Although I understand you've got one and the word may stick in your throat. I'm sorry I was less of a dad to you than the others when I first appeared on the scene. If I had tried to exert my influence more, I think it may have created friction in the house that your mum could have not handled at the time because you were a little bit older and you were hurting so much more from being let down by the previous paternal figures in your life. So why would you have wanted to take any notice of a third? Anyway, if I had, you wouldn't be the person you are today. Meeting your mum has been the best thing in my life. She has given me so much, including four wonderful children. Please know that I love you as much as I love David, Eleanor, Charlotte and Amelia. And he put love to Cal. Always take care of him. He's one of the most genuine people I've ever met. Wow. That is the most raw emotion you'll probably ever get out of me on a podcast. But that's what that email sums perfectly up our relationship. Had he have not been diagnosed with terminal cancer, say he'd have walked out one day and been hit by a bus, I'd have felt devastated because I knew that we could have had a better relationship than what we did. This may come across wrong to some people, but I'm going to say thankfully he went the way he did and I got 10 amazing months of creating the most strong, there's no words, a bond that I will take with me for the rest of my life. The way he allowed me to care for him, the way he allowed me to wipe his face, feed him his dinner, the way he just really did make me feel like a daddy's little girl, something that I've never felt before. And that's why I knew that I had to come home from Australia and I couldn't live there anymore, because I would have never forgiven myself if I didn't get my ass home and spend as much time with this man as I possibly could. And during the time, even during lockdown, and I'm not ashamed to say that we had some amazing little garden afternoon tea parties, even when we weren't supposed to, but we made the best goddamn memories ever, and I have no regrets. We had an amazing party for him when he finished his chemotherapy and we knew that he weren't going to get offered anymore, because at that point he could get out of bed and it wasn't long after that until he was bedbound. But yeah, you know, for me, my grief journey is probably different to other people's, because I have people saying, I've lost this person and I feel this way. And it's like, I'll give an example. Me and my siblings feel different. My little sisters have lost their dad that, and Eleanor, the three of them have lost their dad that have brought them up and loved and cared for them their whole entire life. I am experiencing a different kind of grief, a grief where I question, could I have gone back in time and changed things? I experience a grief, I don't know, like I allowed myself to grow so close and love somebody so much that I knew was about to die. That was really scary for me. I'm a Leo, and Leos will know that I put up the biggest front ever, and it's only my tiny, tiny little inner circle that will see the inside of my heart and how I am. Like, I make stupid decisions all the time. Like, if I don't know somebody, I'll drink loads of wine and act up and I'm like, hey, Mrs. Confident. And then the next day I think, why have I done that? Why not just sit down and actually have an honest, genuine conversation and let somebody see the inner layers of you as a person? But I don't. I really struggle with that. And that's something that I'm working on now. But Yeah, like when Pops went, I knew straight away I'm gonna raise shitloads of money. I'm gonna raise shitloads of money for my dad. And it hurts my heart because I don't think I had a conversation with my sister Eleanor on her 21st birthday the day before we went out to celebrate. And it was the weirdest few days for us because we'd got a call on the Saturday to say that's it. And I was so shocked because it was obviously he did die of a brain tumour, but he started with really bad seizures on the Saturday. So he'd had horrendous seizures and Charlotte held his hand through all of them. That girl is now, which is going to make me emotional, she is now at 18 years old working for the care company that cared for her dad because she was in, she's so good, I can't even explain it. She's going to go on to be a midwife and she is just the most kind-hearted soul. I'm so proud to be a sister. She's probably going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck, soul? God, this has got out of hand really quick, hasn't it? But yeah, she's now working for the company that came in and cared for him. Like, how fucking amazing is that? He's been past 3 months and she's fucking got herself out of the pit of despair and gone and got a job in the middle of a fucking global pandemic at 18 years old, working for the care company that cared for her dad. And I mean, if that doesn't fucking deserve a round of applause, I don't know what it does. But yeah, she held her hand through all of it. We all went. We were gathered around his bed. If you've ever gathered around someone's deathbed and waited for them to die, you'll know how in just horrific it is. It's something that you'll never be able to explain. And he didn't die. The ambulance told us, that's it. And I must have asked him 5 times and people were sick of me saying in the room in front of, so this is it. But I was just in shock. Like I was thinking, how was I around there yesterday? I'd cooked him beef stew and dumplings and he'd sat and ate it all the night before. I was like, but, and then now this, like I couldn't digest it. He didn't die. The ambulance man was like, wow. That was 100% nailed on that he was going to go then. And he didn't. And he came back around, like fully talking again and stuff. Told us all that he loved us. Had just good conversations. And he made my mum promise that we would all go out because me and my brothers and sisters had had a brunch booked for the next day because the next day was Amelia's birthday and the day after that was Eleanor's birthday. 2 big birthdays. So we went and it was weird because they was at home. He was still at home. He was in his hospital bed at home. He was still alive and we went. We managed between us to actually have a good time, which people probably wouldn't have looked at us and thought what we'd been through the night before, that we'd not slept, that we were on edge by our phones checking. But he wanted that for us more than anything. He wanted us to go out and celebrate the girls' birthdays. And long and behold, he held out on Sunday for Amelia's birthday. He held out on Monday for Eleanor's 21st birthday, where she managed to get her Rolex gift that he'd picked out for her. And he passed peacefully on Tuesday. He waited for the girls because it was important for him for them to have a good time on his birthday. I mean, the Monday for Eleanor's birthday, I must admit, we had a bit of a tea party and stuff, but it was extremely difficult because that's when we had to go on the Monday evening and say our final goodbyes. Obviously, Corona really did come to play because, you know, you're not allowed to sit around a hospital bed like you usually are in that circumstance. However, the staff were amazing. They let us stay there for more than what they were supposed to anyway. We said our final goodbyes. We walked out of the hospital. Everyone was like bowing at us and stuff. It was bizarre. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And he passed away peacefully on the Tuesday nighttime. And I just feel so lucky to have had that bond. I was even his, this is what they said at his funeral. I was even his WhatsApp picture when he passed away. So I'm still on his WhatsApp. And that, even little things like that just make me really proud. His funeral was lovely. Obviously, it was very intimate because of the Corona rules. We had some amazing songs. Mum picked a Shania Twain song. It wasn't Shania Twain, it was Celine Dion. I can't remember. She changed her mind that many times. And then we had Bob Marley, Don't Worry. And I just love that song so much. And the song that reminds me of him is
Oasis, she's electric, because when I was going for my MRI scan, when I was really poorly, he kept FaceTiming me and he kept telling the nurse that I'm terrified of needles, I'm so scared of this MRI scan, please can I just stay on FaceTime? And I explained the situation, she was like, yeah. So he stayed on FaceTime the whole time. And I started kicking off in the bed, not on purpose, just because the dye was going through my body. I was kind of having a bit of like a panic attack almost. And the lady showered through the headphones, your dad's kicking off on FaceTime because you're shouting and swearing. And then in that second, She's Electric by Oasis came on and I just, my whole body calmed down and I just listened to all the words. And then when I went to sit by his bed for a wine after I got out of hospital, She's Electric started playing and I just thought, wow, that's mine and his song. And I love it so much. But yeah, following on from grief and stuff, the first few days I slept in bed with my mum. When I finally came home, Cal drove me home. I sat outside in the car. I told him to pour pretty much a full bottle of red wine into a glass. And I sat in the car and I drank the whole thing and screamed, not even cried, fucking screamed, because I'd been holding it together for my family and I just needed to let rip. And it was insane. My emotions just went spiraling out of control. And then I had a couple of times like that. I started work. I went for my interview for my new job less than 48 hours after he passed away. But he wanted me to go and he was so excited. I'd sent him my proposal that I put together for the job and he loved it. And I just thought, life doesn't wait around. And I knew what I needed to achieve and wanted to do with my life. And I knew, more importantly, how happy he wanted me to be. And I just thought, I just need to go for this and do it. And I did. And it brought some normality to my life. I then started the job a couple of days after that. And I remember in my first day, this was my second major breakdown. My first day, I came out and I just drove. And I drove past my house. I couldn't go in the house. I sat outside and I wanted to go for some food. And anyone that has spent time with me in the lead up to my pop's death will know that I spent probably 70% of my time on FaceTime to him, because as you can imagine, he was bedbound at this point, but fully sound in his head. So he would just go through ringing all the kids on FaceTime. And I remember being in the hairdresser, my friend Laura was doing my hair and he was just on FaceTime and we were laughing because at the end we started trying a bit of cannabis oil and he was stoned and Eleanor was with him and oh God, honestly, we had some laughs. So the first thing I wanted to do when I got out of my first day at work and it went really well was FaceTime him and tell him. That was all I wanted to do. I didn't want to speak to anybody else about it. I just wanted to FaceTime him and say, I did it and I've made you proud and I've got through the day. And honestly, fuck me. I sat outside the restaurant, in the car in the restaurant and screamed again. I sat there for about 2 hours, literally, in the worst tears you've ever seen, and my pain was just unbearable, but I felt it and I allowed myself to feel it and I cried through it and I made it. I fucking made it. And now I very rarely cry about it. Obviously when I'm doing things like this I do, but I don't, because I saw this quote, and it's very true, and it said, you're almost through the grieving process when a person's memory brings you peace and not pain. Now, I'm nowhere near through the grieving process yet, because, I mean, fucking hell, you're going to be like, oh, you're only just starting. But I can think of him now and feel a tiny bit of peace. I still feel a lot of pain. But I will be excited for the day where I can show my kids pictures and stuff like that. And I can feel peaceful about it and smile about all these memories and talk about the things that we did. And I don't know, like that brings a smile to my face. Like, don't be sad that I'm not here. Smile because it happened. And even though I only felt like I had a dad for a short period of time, that's the only time in my life that I will have ever felt like I had a dad. So I've got to really treasure that and cling on to it and just be grateful for that, because some people never get to experience it at all. And I always get a lot of questions and like to give advice about grief, but honestly, huns,
listen to me, I'm a fucking mess, so you've just got to find your own way. Be patient. Somebody messaged me the other day and said they felt guilty because their mum had died and they'd not grieved at all because they switched it off and pretended that it's not happened. That's okay. However you feel that you need to get through this process is absolutely fine. You've just got to be proud that you're making them proud by carrying on and living life whichever way you see fit. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you shouldn't be doing this or you should be doing that. There's no guidebook to grief. We're all just learning. We're all going through it. And whether you've lost somebody actually as a death, whether you've lost someone as a friend or as a family member or a partner, like, it's okay to feel sad. It's fine to laugh. Don't feel guilty when you laugh. I remember the first few times I was kind of sat there with, I'd like found something funny and I sat there and I was thinking, fucking hell, I shouldn't be laughing. And then you're like, you can't do that. You've got to carry on, and trust me, they'll be looking down proud as punch that you're holding it together. So I don't know how this podcast is going to come along. I feel like it's extremely long, but I've been honest. I spoke about it as honest as I can to say that it's still very raw in my life. And I'm sure I've probably got a few of you crying. Sorry about that. I hope you're not on your way to fucking work or something, or walking the dog in the park and everyone's looking at you like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, I did say I was going to do half an hour episodes, but I think something like this deserves more time. And obviously I would like to go back into the dad thing again and stuff, so I'm sure I'll find another way to go into it. But thank you so much for listening. Please download each episode. You can subscribe to me on Google Podcasts or Spotify. I'm on Instagram at SophieWatkins7, and every single download really does make a difference. I do have all my fitness guides and my cookbooks for sale on my website. It's www.sophiewatkins.uk. You can also, most important thing for me after this podcast, you can also donate to the Yorkshire Brain Tumour Charity, which will help people like my sister who are currently working, looking after cancer patients. It will help support the families. It will help contribute towards counselling for families. If anybody's ever experienced somebody dying of brain cancer and how it affects you, you'll understand the trauma that's left behind. And things like that really do make a difference. And you'll find the link on my website there as well. But thank you very much for listening. And that's today's podcast.